Welcome. You have just discovered the Tom and Topher podcast experiment. First word in entertainment, tainment. We explore the mysteries of the universe, our minds, and much more. So come along with us to the edge of all that is possible. Boom. What's up?
What's up, Lizzie Gray?
We got Lizzie here, Lizzie McGuire. Just kidding. Yeah, we got Lizzie here, yoga instructor at Core Power on 5275 Sunrise Boulevard in, what is this, Elk Grove?
Fair Oaks.
Close. Yeah, so we just got done doing a full-on hot yoga sesh. My first time. I think it was Chris's first time.
My first time. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a incredible experience. So, first off, just a little shout-out to the business. Thanks, guys, for letting us do this.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for using the space.
Thank you,
yeah, we're
guys.
Here in their yoga studio. Sitting on some mats. Yeah, I hope it's not too echoey. But we're sitting on some mats, campfire style, just chilling, vibing.
Yeah, just vibes.
Great vibes right now, especially after that.
No, but that was such a cool environment, and that's something that, like, Chris and I, we really want to have on this podcast is, like, eventually we want to have one this type of thing, but I'll get back to that, where we go out and talk to people in other small businesses where we can just figure out what you're doing, partake in it. Like, this type of stuff wasn't something we were expecting, but it is so cool that we're doing this.
Yeah.
We were expecting more have you ever seen Anthony Bourdain?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, that dude is my hero.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and when we started this, I really wanted something kind of along the lines of that, where we go out and reach small businesses and just chill and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And that environment you guys set, it was so calming and peaceful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we always want, like, on our podcast, is just a chill, calm, peaceful talk.
Yeah, totally. I think you both have very soothing voices. You guys could be, like, police dispatch people. Yeah, I was giving it a listen. But, I would definitely say that, like, pretty much any studio, at least in my experience, you'll kind of find that culture of, like, very open and accepting and warm.
Mm-hmm. Calm environment.
Yeah, for sure.
So I saw on your Twitter your last name is different. Is your last name Gray?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure before we make fools of ourselves.
Lizzie Borden. Do you know who she is?
Oh, she...
She was an axe murderer.
Yeah,
she killed her
parents. That is amazing.
Yeah, she was like this old, like, from like the late 1800s, like, lesbian who just went crazy and then cut off her parents' heads.
Really? The 1800s?
I mean, I could Google it. The pictures are, like, black and white.
Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't there
Lizzie,
a song?
Yeah, it's like Lizzie Borden had an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks, which
it
she thought she had
Bourdain.
Done. No, it wasn't Lizzie Borden, unfortunately. But yeah, and then she gave her father 41 because she was a crazy
41
lesbian.
What?
Wax with an axe. With an axe, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but it was Halloween time, so that's why I changed my Twitter name to that. But my name is Lizzie Gray. Always has
been. All right, now that we got that settled.
All right.
Well, thanks for doing that. That was like, so for your sessions, what do you do to, like, set that environment? What do you do? What is, like, one of your, I know you said that you play a lot of, like, Skyrim music, which is very inspiring to me.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be, like, all the time Skyrim. There's definitely a time and a place for it. But, honestly, the most important part of, like, conducting a yoga class, like, as being an instructor, I would say, is, like, your own space and your own energy. Like, you noticed in class, the teacher, Ellen, was, like, going by giving hands-on instructions. I don't know if you guys ever got an assist from her.
Mm-mm.
Was she able to touch you?
I got a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like...
she said good job to me once, which I've...
Yeah, I was very jealous of that. I thought I was doing a good job.
And when I was doing that pose, I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm doing this perfectly now. And she was like, great job, Tommy. And I was like, fuck, hell yeah.
Isn't that such a great feeling?
Yes.
That's awesome. No, it's... it's so important that you're able to, like... at least for me, it's kind of like a personal practice of, like, keeping my own self in check. So I'm able to, like, you know, guide these people because, like, yoga can be, like, you know, fitness to people. It can be, like, a stupid, like, Instagram post. But, like, for me, like, it's honestly like a prayer. So like the way I guide people through it, I want it to be from a good place. And like when I touch them and like interact with them, I want it to be like healing, you know? Yeah. And there's been like a lot of times where like, you know, in your personal life, like you're not able to provide that for yourself.
Right.
So, you know, you have to take a step back and kind of look at like, hey, you know, what can I change? What's going on with myself right now? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm just like super lucky to have found something like this, because it like really keeps you on top of yourself. And I'm kind of a hard person to manage sometimes. So yeah, like as long as like you can hold yourself to the standard, hold your students to, because like you learn just as much teaching as you do when you're on your mat listening to instruction. So
it felt like a worship session.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I was raised in the Christian church.
Totally.
And there was some that were kind of whack. But there were some sessions, you know, music, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like,
absolutely. I was raised in the church too.
Yeah, you leave feeling better than you came. Mm-hmm. And it's that sense of community and the music.
Connection.
And yeah, everyone there is like in this rhythm. Mm-hmm. And that's like exactly what I got here.
That's really cool. I'm really glad that you experienced that way.
Yeah, it's really cool because a lot of people think that they are in the only thing that can give you that. So say you're in the church, mm-hmm. you're going around telling people, whatever church you're in, hey, I have this thing, you know, that mm-hmm. it's bringing me a lot of joy, community, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I did not expect to get that out of this.
Really?
I had no clue what I was mm-hmm. getting myself into, especially hot yoga. Like, whew, I was almost dreading this.
Yeah, no, it can seem a little mean, for sure.
I was scared.
Yeah, it's, it was just, like, in my yoga journey, it just, like, completely caught me by surprise, like you said. Like, it was just, like, so profound and so eye-opening and, like, healing and just, like, you know, and the events going on in my life, like, outside of, like, studio walls, too, mm-hmm. like, it was so interesting how it, like, coincided and how it all, like, flowed together. And it's, you know, that's the point of a class. It's like, you know, in a vinyasa class, at least, to flow through it and to breathe through the, like, transitions and to breathe through the changes. And, like, being able to grow my own practice and, like, implement those, like, principles and lessons you learn from your mat to, like, outside, you know, being a barista or, you know, just being a younger sister, a daughter, a friend. And honestly, it's just, like, I'm just super blessed.
Breathing, you know? Breathing was, like, probably the hardest part of it for me.
Yeah, I got a rhythm after a while, but at first, everything that Ellen was saying, I was not doing. Like she said, raise your left foot. I was raising my right foot because I was focusing on trying to breathe in and out when she, you know, was instructing us to. But then you finally, I don't know about you, but I finally got a good rhythm and kind of could anticipate the different poses we were going to do.
Yeah, so. Totally. It takes a long time to establish that breath pattern. It's called your pranayama in yoga philosophy.
What is it?
Pranayama.
Pranayama.
Is that a Sanskrit word?
It is. Nice. Yeah. It's like your life force.
Hey, he's an old man. He knows a few things.
I know a few things.
Yeah. I put in your information in the computer, and you're older than I thought you were.
Yeah. What is it? 1940?
Yeah. 45.
45?
Yeah. I'm before the boomers.
He's seen some things.
So.
He's seen
you're
some
before
things.
The boomers, so you're
pre-boomer.
You.
Silent.
What's Sanskrit?
It's a...
Sanskrit.
Don't laugh at me. I'm learning
here. Language spoken in India, correct?
In Hindu?
I think it might actually pronounce Sanskrit, but I'm going to keep saying Sanskrit and so can you. But yeah. I think it might. That might be the correct one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's your breath is your life force, your pranayama. So yeah, that's, you know... part of it.
My breathing is horrible just day to day. I noticed that when I get nervous at all, I literally stop breathing. Do you do that? Does anybody else just...
I'll do really short breaths. And yeah, and sometimes just not breathing at all.
I feel like it makes me make bad decisions because I'm not getting oxygen into my brain.
I mean...
And you're not thinking clearly.
That's super logical. Yeah, I would imagine.
Like
I mean,
in fights, you get a little nervous. You hold your breath. You hold your breath. You start saying shit you don't mean, you know?
Yeah. That's like, you know, that's when you can like calm yourself with like the breath. That's what it's supposed to do. It's like a decompressing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like such an interesting type of like breathing too, because it's like in through the nose and then out through the nose, and like you have that constriction. So it sounds like, when I first started like really diving into like the breath work, I was like, this shit is weird. I don't sound like an ocean,
right,
or like a shell, but no, it builds heat, and it's actually like, for me now, it's kind of like an anxiety response, because I suffer with like anxiety a lot, and like the physical side effects of it. And so like tapping into like that breath where it's like, oh hell yeah, like I have the control over this,
right.
And like this is like, it's kind of just like reclaiming power, like this whole practice is, but like, you know, honing in on that breath right now is it's just like,
yeah, I know. I use it too when I feel anxious or angry, mm-hmm. or sad or something. Just it's it allows you to focus on something differently, and like how you said, you get control back.
Yeah, totally.
And you can, and then it allows you to kind of recognize when certain feelings come in, and you can just kind of isolate them and focus on your breath, and then move on to something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Exactly.
It reminds me, I heard recently the reason why they use like waterboarding as a torture method for like getting information,
mm-hmm.
is because when you have that blanket over your head and they pour the water on, it depletes your, obviously you can't breathe, and it depletes your brain of CO2.
Mm-hmm.
And so like pretty much what happens when you're drowning is your brain is depleted, just has no more CO2 left in it. And so you start doing things you normally wouldn't, like you hear about people drowning other people while they're being saved.
Uh-huh.
It's because they don't know what they're doing, because they have no CO2 left in their brain.
Mm.
And so I feel like breathing is a lot more important than people give credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, like when you're in an argument, it's important to breathe. When you're in like some sort of, like you said, at work, some sort of conflict, or even just a conversation, just being able to focus on your breath and let that CO2 run like a river in your brain, and you know what I'm saying?
Just, yeah, totally.
I read that 6 deep breaths physiologically change your mood.
6 deep breaths?
Yeah. So if you're like really feeling it and you need to change like now, try that.
I'm pretty sure Starbucks trained us on that.
6 deep breaths?
On one of their training.
Oh, okay.
Hey, he's not a barista anymore, but we're all baristas in here.
Wow. Yeah.
We used to do coffee tastings on this.
Really?
We did, yeah.
We'd get like a
first
coffee.
Few episodes, yeah.
Yeah, we'd get.
This is Sumatra.
Then it morphed to beer.
Gross.
Soon, probably marijuana of some sort.
Yeah, that's dope. Invite me over when that happens.
That'd we'll do fun. Testings or something.
We did wine last time.
Oh, yeah, we did do wine.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, you know, like, what's that thing called when you're like a wine expert? Like a sommelier, something?
I don't know him for those things.
I just learned, like, very off topic, but like, I just learned you have to go through so many, like, levels to, like, get certified to, like, professionally taste wine. There's, like, only, like, 30, like, wine. Yeah, hella weird.
I know a couple people that had to go through classes because of their work that they sold wine, so they had to go and kind of know what they were talking about. My brother, and then my friend's wife.
Well, to work at a lot of restaurants, you have to go through like beer courses.
Yeah.
Because people are crazy about beer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to each their own. You know, you got beer, I got yoga.
I'm getting the feeling you're not a beer fan.
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
What's your drink of choice?
Like a gin and tonic.
Hey,
oh, yeah.
That's my favorite mixed drink.
Yeah. No, I never really partied, and then like the night before my 21st, like 2 years ago, I was like, yeah, I've never been hungover, I'll be fine. And then I had like a ton of champagne, and then I downed it with some bourbon, like a double of bourbon.
Oh yeah, that'll get you.
And yeah, the next thing I knew, I was 21.
And then after that, you have hangovers now.
Yep. Yeah, it's not worth it. It's so shitty. I'd much rather join with the marijuana usage rather than
alcohol. So much more manageable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like no vomiting. I've never thrown up from marijuana.
There is from edibles.
Yeah, one time I got my friend too high and she threw up everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny now.
Wasn't funny then. Very traumatic.
Yeah, it was like her first time smoking too. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
That's a different kind of throw up. I was going to ask you, how many types of yoga do you guys do here?
Okay, let me think. So we have, we're based through, based in like Baron Baptiste yoga, so like vinyasa flowing. So we have, like heated and unheated flows. So they're going to be our more advanced classes, like our C2s here at Core Power. And then this is just specific to like the studio and the company. But and then we have like a 1.5, which is like a lesser version of that. And then we have like our C1, which is like a beginner's class, and it's a set sequence every time, so it's the same. Mm-hmm. And there's no heat added. And honestly, it's probably our most popular class, just because like you get to do a little of everything, and nothing is like, it's like just enough of everything. So you just feel like super open and like not super worn down and like very happy. Like it's a very lighthearted class, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And then we have a style of yoga, which is like Bikram, which is gonna be like the 90 minute heated like set sequence of like 26 postures over and over again. But we combine it with like a flow. So the class is only 60 minutes when traditionally it would be 90. Mm-hmm. And the class is like 103 degrees and like 40% humidity. And it's super, it's a beautiful practice, but like it's an event, mm-hmm. at least for me, because I'm like a sweater as it is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just a lot. And most of it's standing and a little bit slower. And then we have our sculpt classes here at Core Power, which aren't offered at like normal yoga studios because mm-hmm. it's not like a Yoga Alliance, like Eastern practice. But it's kind of just like a modern form, which makes it like really accessible to our community. And it's hella fun. And you guys should totally try it on Saturday. I teach at 9. And then
you've been hyping that up for a while now.
It's so much fun.
I like your socks, by the way. Sorry.
Thanks.
Those are cool.
Yeah, space socks.
Yep. But yeah, and then we have our sculpt class, which is weights, which is really fun. And then we have a core restore class, which is basically just like 75 minutes on the ground of just deep stretching. And mm-hmm. it's all dark. That's when the Skyrim music comes in.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's slow. We offer it like in the evening, so it's nice and like chill. But that's what we do here. If you go to other studios, like I used to work at a mom and pop, and I taught a yin class, which is like the core restore option, and then like a 75 minute slow flow, which is still like a flow. It's just kind of like, I don't know, you kind of just like get to make your own story with it, which I, you know, like when I first started like getting trained in this stuff, I was kind of like hesitant because I didn't want to be like, you know, that white girl who's like doing yoga and like, you know, practicing like, you know, Buddhist philosophy or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but it is like a really special thing to kind of make it your own, mm-hmm. and still try to like honor that and not be like a total asshole about it, you know?
I really liked that one that we did. It was a good flow. I don't know what it is, but I feel like most of the people I talk to, mm-hmm. they always say that they, at least the people who haven't done yoga much at all, they say the first time they do it, it's just like this weird release afterwards. They feel like crying for some reason.
Yeah.
I know Caitlin said that. Did she come here?
Mm-hmm. She did. Her and Julie, yeah.
Yeah. She said that exact same thing. And, like, I don't know if I believed it or not, but I did not expect to come here feeling, like, an emotional release afterwards. Mm-hmm. But that happened. Like, why is that? What the hell was that?
You, like, think about it. So, like, from the second you were born to the second you're right here talking to me, like you've experienced life just in your one vessel, just in your body, mm-hmm. nowhere else. And, you know, you carry things with you. And that's like a really, really pretty part of life, is that you get to like hold lessons and learn and repeat and just experience and be like a really active participant. You know, when you come to a yoga mat, you're, at least for me in my experience, I can't speak for everyone, it was just, you're able to meet yourself there. You're able to say like, hey, you know, like look at yourself in a very earnest way and be like, yeah, I can't do everything. I'm very human, very hot. This is really hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, so like, at least for me, it was kind of like, you know, the breath in as you expand and then the breath out as you move, it was just like totally reclaiming my own identity. And I'm sorry, I don't remember where I was going with this.
No, but I was just talking about the feeling you get afterwards.
Yeah,
just
that you know, you hold so much of your emotion in your body, and then you breathe it out, you like expel it with the exhale, mm-hmm. and then like you refuel and recharge with the inhale. It's really cool. It's kind of like a tide.
Yeah. Yes. You know? That's exactly what it feels like. It's mm-hmm. like you're tuning into like a flow of nature almost.
Yeah.
You feel that flow with the wind and tides and rivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like something that I found, like it was probably one of the most profound moments in my like education and my training, was when we're learning about how to like set up a class and the way it goes, and your sun salutation A, So you know, you start standing and then you fold forward and you're using the frontal plane of motion in your body, which is actually the first movement you do in utero. So like the way you begin a class is the way you begin your life. You know, you get that movement, and then when you like learn and experience, you can expand and twist, and that's like the transverse plane of motion, and then you can get a sagittal plane of motion, and yeah, it's just like a super beautiful process. And then at the end of class in Shavasana, when you're laying down, in English it translates to corpse pose because it's the death of your practice. And then that's when you know, the meditation comes into play, is when you connect to God or whatever higher power you find. Yeah, and then when you arise and like wake up after Shavasana, you roll over to your side in a fetal position because it's like a rebirth. And you get up, and then you have, you know, this whole new like expansive experience and knowledge under your belt, and you can carry on with your life. And it's kind of like that goes in like the Buddhist and Hindu belief of like reincarnation, where like you kind of you rise up, and like that's in the past, but it's still in you. So then you can like carry on with, you know, your new life or whatever, your new day.
I did feel like I was reborn after the session.
Yeah, no, it's
totally clean and just ready to start anew.
That's really actually like really encouraging to like hear you guys say this, because like sometimes I think I'm crazy. Like, is this really like a universal thing? Like this awesome like magic that's behind yoga, and you know, two like normal dudes like getting something from it is like really, really cool.
Yeah. So. What I like about it is it's an escape from like the chatter in your mind. I felt like that was completely off. Like my mind is always going, I'm always thinking about something, and that was completely turned off, and I was totally focused on breathing and doing the poses. And then for moments there, you just kind of are completely out of your body, I guess you could say. And then, you know, we're living in a short attention span world now with social media and everything like that. So this kind of brings us back away from the chaos and the technology, and you're just kind of, I don't know, inside yourself but free.
Sounds a lot like meditation. Like the stuff you're talking about where you're kind of focusing on your breath.
This whole thing felt like a form of meditation.
Yeah, it is.
I know the end was like a meditation.
It's like a moving
segment,
meditation.
But yeah.
The way I had, when I first started, like a really difficult time quieting my mind to like meditate, and I like would get mad at myself and be like, oh my gosh, you know, like you're not getting the depth of it. But one of my mentors who teaches here, you know, describe meditation as something that's accessible to people, and it's to measure it by like the passing of time. So like, you know, for some people that's like running, you know. You run, you forget the world. That's your meditation. For some people it's a physical yoga, you know, some people it's the end part. It's just it's cool. I feel like yoga like wants to find you. You know, it's really I'm just super grateful.
What got you into yoga?
It was really random. I used to work at a coffee shop around here, and we would do like little coffee deliveries as surprises to like businesses.
Which coffee place? You know.
Do I have to say it?
No.
No, I can't. I worked at fucking Dutch Bros. Which is the worst.
I was Dutch Bros on your sticker on that.
Well, it was, but I covered it up with Area 51.
Even better.
Fuck Dutch Bros. Yeah.
Good move there.
Oh, okay, but anyways, so I did that.
I like that and one then, right there.
Thank you. You can check them out.
I love that. This was a good smoke on that one.
Yeah, that's
I lost that sticker. I was so excited to put it on my water bottle.
Well, I found it. Yeah, a lot of them are weed related.
I see that.
It's like weed, yoga, stars, and TV and aliens. That's like all the only things I talk about.
What do you think about the combination of yoga and marijuana?
Oh my God, that's awesome. Like, yeah.
I'm glad that's the first thing you said.
Like, I try to be, like, respectful of the practice and, like, to my job here. Like, I would never do that. But, you know, being high is awesome.
Yeah.
Doing yoga is awesome. And so, like, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, what if I combine this? And then it's awesome. Yeah. It's even more awesome, actually.
I know. If I do marijuana before I go to the gym and do like strength training or cardio or something, it's the workout is 10 times as good.
Okay.
And meditative.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm totally focused on the muscle movement, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Almost like a psychedelic experience.
Yeah.
The muscle movement is primarily why I think it's advantageous to smoke before you do something like this. It's like you can feel everything moving. You're very tuned into your body. Mm-hmm. It's not something where you go numb. It's kind of the opposite. Yeah. You know, you really can like figure out what your bones and your muscles are doing.
It can communicate to them a lot better. Like the neural pathways are, I don't know.
It almost seems like it's like cookies and milk, you know, kind of pairing. Just goes well together.
Oh, yeah. Big
time. Like nature gave us something. Like
absolutely. You know,
a little sweet.
Yeah. There's like, there's a couple of places in Midtown that I've actually been where they'll do like high noon yoga. Well, like you'll get high with the class and then do some yoga and then talk about how like marijuana and yoga have like helped you in your life. And like,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, like yeah, I'm all for it. It's really funny when like students come and they're like blatantly high. It's like I'm totally like I'm not offended or anything. It's a little funny. I used to have this guy who actually is my neighbor, and I saw him walking the other day. And he used to come here all the time.
Yeah.
And he one time was like, and he's like this grown ass like super like smart IT dude, and was like, oh, can I have a piece of paper for class? And I was like, yeah, why? And he was like, oh, well, just because I took like a pretty decent edible and it's going to hit in a few minutes. And I always get like really good ideas when I'm doing yoga. And I taught this class every Saturday at the time. Yeah. And so like he would just chill in the back, be super happy. He would opt out of getting like hands-on assists and write his stuff and just like, you know, live his life.
I need to meet that guy.
I think I might have opted out.
Okay, yeah.
On accident.
Okay, that happens.
she legit was. Did she say raise your foot if you want to opt out?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I legit did not hear what she said.
And you raised.
And
your
I was
foot.
Just like, oh, raise my foot. Okay. That's probably why she wasn't hands-on.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so what you need to do is take another class and don't opt out because it will like.
It was very helpful.
It was so helpful, and like.
She did come and give me a block though.
Okay.
And I was like, here, this will help you.
Yeah, I love blocks. I don't ever feel bad about using them. I use two in every single class I take.
That did help a lot.
Yeah, no, it was like a like an ego thing for me. Because like yoga is about like diminishing the ego. And so like when I first started, I was like 19 and I had been playing volleyball.
Yes, that'll do
throughout high school. Yeah, I was just a total bitch. No, like seriously. And it was just like, wow, Lizzie Gray, like, sit down. You're not the tits all the time, and that's okay. And, yeah, so life's too short to not accept help. Yeah. Definitely learn that from yoga.
Something that that was really cool about this that kind of paired with the meditation as well is kind of, I don't know, there's a lot of times where you mess up, and that's okay. You just position yourself and start over, keep doing it. And I noticed that in meditation, your breathing's super important, and you really want to make sure that you're channeling your mind in a way that you're kind of losing yourself. You know how you said when you run, you kind of are focused on one thing and you're kind of just almost out of body.
Mm-hmm.
Same with yoga, but with meditation as well. You kind of stray away from that, and the whole point of you doing meditation is to, you know, like I said, kind of channel yourself and lose yourself in a way. And I don't know a lot about it, but from what I know, a lot of people give up because they cannot channel themselves in that way. They keep kind of straying away from whatever mindset they're trying to gain. And from what I've heard, that's kind of the point of meditation, is to stray away so that you can bring your mind back. So once every time you stray away, you're kind of flexing your brain. You're kind of doing some sort of mental exercise that's reestablishing yourself. And I got a lot of that out of this, just almost falling over and having to start over and reposition myself. And it's, I don't know, it's just a really cool experience. I've never done anything like that. It was really fun.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say before this podcast, you had said a lot of people just kind of give up. and then, ah, that was too hard. Mm-hmm. But I think that's it's the same thing with meditation, it's the same thing with yoga, where you want to give up, but you do it a million times over, and you're just, oh, this is easy now. I can breathe again. Like, you notice out and about when you're at work or in a conflict or whatever, you're breathing better. You're focusing on that CO2 or whatever in your brain.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Make better decisions.
In like yoga philosophy, there's this thing called an 8-limb path. And I think it's the fourth limb is called pratyahara. And it means like withdrawal of the senses. So that's like, that's kind of like what meditation has been taught to me be like, is more of like a non-attachment, like let the thoughts come, but like let them go. You don't belong to anything. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that space in between is like what my mentor would call it. And like sending like your senses inward, like scientists think that you have like way more than like 5 senses. And like drawing them all like inward, so like the outer world kind of disappears and you're just like in that like center. Mm-hmm. At least in my experience, when it's done right, you can like completely, like, it's gonna sound crazy, but you can like totally feel the earth spinning.
Yeah.
Like just, it's, and that's part of like what helps me is because I'm a very, like, you know, like I'm hella into astrology and like stars and stuff. I like kind of like the outer worldly, like metaphysical stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I personally meditate, I always like draw back to like the very beginning of time, like wherever you think that started or like where it came from. You know, yoga really reveals like this universal truth that we all like come from the same place. Right. We're all like, you know, going to the same like area. Like, you know what I mean? It's all a journey we're doing
really
together.
Fascinating, honestly.
It really is.
Like, I've never heard anybody describe their meditation process that way.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I I go back to like the Big Bang, and it's actually really interesting. I was watching this YouTube video the other day, and like there's like 2 trillion stars or something in the observable universe. Mm-hmm. And we don't know like what lies beyond it, if there's anything there, like hasn't made its time to get to us, but everything that like exists right now, everything is only 1/1 billionth of what's left over of the Big Bang. Mm-hmm. And like, when I think about that and I think about, you know, events in my life, like who am I? I'm like 22-year-old fucking girl from middle nowhere. You know what I mean? Like it, like I shouldn't feel this like empowered and special and connected, but I do. And it's something that like, and for somebody like me to not have to like, I'm right, this is how I feel, like argue it. It's just something I know. Like I've never experienced like faith like that ever. Mm-hmm. And it's like you, I was raised in the church. My mom, she passed away, but she was non-denominational, and my dad is a Jehovah's Witness. And like I loved going to church as a kid. I loved it. I had a great time. Like I won't say anything bad about my experience there, but like the relationship I have with God now, not going to church, living like my own life, doing my own thing, following, you know, this path is like the so enriching, you know. It's, and I honestly owe it all to this practice. I owe it all to core power. Like Tamara, my manager, you guys met. She was the first person. Whoever was like, hey, you know, like you should think about teaching or you should get involved in the community. Because before I was a teacher here and did like training, I did like custodial work throughout the week to pay for my membership. Mm-hmm. So it was just like such, I don't know, it was just a really, really cool thing to watch unfold. I felt like I was kind of like given like a different set of eyes for that section of my life. And it's, honestly, been really great. It's like led me to here, so you know.
Well, you had brought up astrology, and I have like a ton of questions about that for you.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'll be able to answer all of them, but
I'm sure you will. It's just casual. It's not anything major, but I just know nothing really of it, and you have been like a shaman of sorts for me.
Okay. Yeah,
just a beacon of knowledge that I go to. You and Malcolm is another course.
Oh, I'm on the same list as Malcolm of Awesome.
And that's kind of That's kind of halfway what we wanted to talk about here, not just yoga, but, and speaking of astrology, mm-hmm. it's a full moon.
It is tomorrow, technically.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, 100%
stupid Tommy.
Yeah, come on, Tommy.
Get it. Can't believe you said that.
No, but first of all, people act nuts when there's full moons. That is mm-hmm. a fact. And if you want to deny that, go work in any sort of like food service or retail.
Or go driving.
Or, yeah, go driving, go to a hospital, go to a bar, go fucking anywhere. People are shitty and crazy all the time. And then when the moon is full, it's like 63% worse.
66%. 69%. Yeah, so I just know that in my job at Starbucks, when there's a full moon, you can, I don't know about any of this, never did, never tracked the moon, but I do now because there's been at least three times in the last year where I've called out, is this a full moon? And yep, sure enough it is. People are just whack. They're yelling, they're screaming, they're hateful, they're driving terribly, like you said.
Yeah. It'd be really odd too. Like you told me a couple stories of some like broken AI in your store.
Yeah.
Just like a guy not being able to communicate what he needs, like what the problem is to you. That one story you're telling.
They literally sound like they just are stumbling over their words. They make no sense. They're asking for like no foam on their drink that has whipped cream on it. You're like, what? You want me to remove the whipped cream, then the foam, then add the whip again? It's just nonsense like that. But you have a telescope, right?
I do, yeah.
You mess with that a lot, or?
Yeah, all the time.
You took some crazy pictures last time.
I did. I have.
You should
like,
send those to me.
I thought I saw one on social media.
You probably did.
Did you?
Like.
You post them?
I post them on my stories a lot.
Do you look at any of the planets ever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really cool. This is one I took from the other night.
Ooh,
but,
so pretty.
When. You know, I haven't done as much planet tracking in the most current, like, daylight savings sky. But when the planets are visible, it's super cool. My telescope, you can see, like, the separation between Saturn and its rings.
Mm-hmm.
So it, like, looks like a tiny little disc.
What?
I cried, like, so much.
I weeped in my backyard.
Yeah. Over the summer, it was really cool the way Jupiter was, like, in orbit, you could see four of its moons.
Really?
And I don't remember if it has 64 or 63. I think it has 63 moons.
Yeah.
And Saturn has 62.
Wait, who? Jupiter has 63 moons?
I think so. 63 or 64.
Damn.
And you could see four of them.
Tech,
so
our tech
like,
guy's on it.
Yeah, it was cool.
Jamie, look
like,
that up, please.
Two and then two with like a big ass Jupiter. But yeah, and then Venus always looks like a second sun. Mars was really cool to see this last spring. That shit is awesome. Like it's awesome.
I was gonna say we should get a group of people, us, mm-hmm. including whoever else wants to come from work or whatever, and go to the El Dorado Observatory and go look at some planets. That'd be so fun.
For sure.
We
tried to do that one time. And it was fires or something?
It was closed because of the smoke.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
Yeah,
that sucks.
It was last year.
There's always fires over there.
Jupiter has 67 moons.
67?
Yeah.
Fuck me. I'm
and
so
they
sorry.
Think that there's life on Europa and what's the other one? Titan?
Titan is Saturn's.
Saturn,
moon,
okay.
I believe.
So I know Europa and
Titan's
Titan
amazing.
Are two moons that they NASA think. Is very interested in. Because
mm-hmm.
they think that this red stuff right there, because it's all ice.
Yeah.
And I think that there's an ocean under that ice, and I think all that red is bacteria.
Isn't that just so terrifying?
It is.
But, like, in a really, really beautiful way.
Yeah.
Like
it would be really cool.
On Titan, they're apparently sending a submarine satellite because they know that there's an ocean, and I think it's an ocean of methane, and they think that there could be life starting in the ocean of methane, just like how life started in the ocean of water.
Mm-hmm.
On Earth. So they're going to try and collect samples of anything they can find.
That is just so, like, do you ever think about, like, like, shit, there's probably, like, fucking waves and, like, maybe even some fucking fish going on, like, in this something solar similar, neighborhood. Right? Yeah, and then you have people that come in, like, I wanted fucking decaf. And they're just like, oh, my God. Like,
like, bro, look at the sky.
Yeah, like, just look up for 5 seconds and shut up. Like, yeah. But
I feel like if a lot of people went out to where there's no light pollution and just look at the sky, a lot of their life's problems would go away.
Oh my God, it's...
They would be recentered, and they would just feel so insignificant and then very significant at the same time.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when you first talk about or ask them about horoscopes at all, the first reaction is like, it's normally like, oh, that shit's so fake.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find out some trait about their... Mm-hmm. horoscope sign, their what is it, zodiac sign?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh wow, like that's crazy. It's always like, oh, that's crazy, like I don't believe it, but that's crazy.
Like I don't get that. Like I just really don't get how people can just be like, I mean, you know, we came from, like, the same elements, and, like, we're all born from stars, and the moon controls the ocean, and we're 70% water, just like this planet, and none of that has anything
that
to do
right
with how we are.
That right there is a crazy thing that you told me that I've been thinking about for so long.
It's wild,
what you just
right?
said, the moon controls the tides, we're 70% water.
Yeah, and the same percentage of water we are as humans is the planet.
Hmm. Boom. Like what?
Yeah, and like the Earth was the Earth, and there was no moon, and then a rock came, crashed into the Earth, and then formed the moon. And then we came from like those rocks that crashed that like probably had water on it, which started like the first like storm and then ocean. And it's like, for me, like, and this is, like, no disrespect to, like, religious people or at all, because, like, I love my family and they're very religious. But, like, people are going to believe that, like, a god is 3-in-1 and, like, sent down his son and he died and 3 days later he rose again. Like, that's awesome. But, like, I have every single right to believe that this shit is kind of, like, lining up as well without thinking that I'm, like, you know, you're satanic or, like, you're witchcraft, blah, you know?
That's what you said.
Superstitious.
Yeah.
The sign off is superstitious.
And it's, for me, it's like really like bettered my relationship with God. Like it's such a personal and like lovely thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, honestly, like if there's like one thing in life that could work out with me being like really stable in is my spirituality, it's like, fuck yeah, it's a win.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of how I see it. And yoga just kind of like draws that all together, you know, is like the why and the connection and like the, you know, universal, like, feelings and love that come with it, you know?
Yeah, you said that the other day, people are gonna believe in a lot of crazy books out there. Like, why can't I believe in something I don't know, it's not that crazy to think that the things that made us, the things that are controlling everything. I mean, we're this tiny little blue dot in this vast thing that we know nothing about.
Pale blue dot.
And it's like, why wouldn't these giant stars affect us? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't these like gods in the sky affect us some way? It's not that crazy to think about in comparison to everything else that people believe in this world.
Yeah. And like, I just, it bothers me when people like, you know, like I hate to like keep like bringing it up, but like when people can't have like, you know, spirituality and like metaphysical things like that with a god, like it's one or the other. And I just find that kind of insulting because like, I don't want to know everything about my maker, you know, I don't want to know everything that there is about this life. Like I love that unknown because that's when like we get to be us and like that's when like the relationship with God, however you get there, whatever you want to call it, like that's what it is. And it's I'm getting like goosebumps. It's like such a surprising love. It's just like it's awesome.
You're hitting on something that's like extremely important in my opinion, and that is that there's this theory that I don't necessarily believe in, but it's kind of ties into what we're talking about, and it's that all these religions are kind of tying into the same thing. It's a form of worship that they're getting something out of, and if they're getting something out of it because they're tuning into something. Mm-hmm. That thing might not be anything that has to do with the book that they read. Mm-hmm. The stories that they tell may be fact or fiction. It doesn't really matter. What they're doing is they're tuning into something that they're getting something out of.
Yeah.
People don't just follow and die for things that they don't truly believe. Mm-hmm. Whether they're wrong or not, they're feeling it. And a lot of people are feeling this same thing. And like I said, this yoga session, I came here and I felt, if not more revived and revitalized than I do when I step out of like a church in a worship session. Mm-hmm. It's like healing. You've just participated and channeled into that thing that everybody's getting something out of.
Yeah. I feel like with yoga and then going to church, you connect to some type of universal love. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's what God is. It's just this pure love. Whenever I've meditated and have felt that feeling of bliss, or just now in yoga, you just kind of, I don't know, you connect with this entity, I guess you can call it. Mm-hmm. That's just pure love. And that sounds like all kumbaya and stuff, but I don't know.
If it is all fake and kumbaya, it's a better way to live than a lot of different lifestyles out there. Mm-hmm. And it is real. You're channeling into yourself. If you take away all the bullshit that you think, you know, is stopping you from believing whatever we're talking about, if you take away all the heebie-jeebie, the everything that I don't know, is kind of generic about what we're talking about, it's generally just yoga, meditation. It's just a good mental exercise. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I think that, one, astrology, I've heard this said before, I think Jordan Peterson or Carl Jung said it, it's that the astrology is the ancient form of astronomy, just like alchemy is the ancient form of chemistry. And it's extremely harmful for you as a society to not want to tap into like the psychology of a lot of the ancients. And astrology is tapping into the psychology of a lot of the ancients. Mm-hmm. You're able to study the science that they believed and the stories they believed and the fantasies that they projected into the stars, you know? And if anything, that's really helpful. To anyone, I think, and society as a whole. Because I think we've lost a lot of what they knew.
Yeah, lost a lot of magic over the years,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Just talking about this, like thinking about how you can go out here right now, it's like, what, 8:30? You look into the sky, you're going to see like 20 stars. Mm-hmm. You have to go somewhere to be able to see half of what's actually there, you know, because of light pollution. Mm-hmm. And the ancients just looked up and it was there and they marveled, and we just don't give a shit. We're in a little dome, we don't care, you know. Mm-hmm. It's
they probably obsessed over it too.
Yeah, which I would.
Yeah. Which would explain the level of detail of like astrology and stuff. When I looked into it before we talked, I didn't realize how complex that subject is.
Yeah, it's everything.
Where do I start?
Yeah, it's everything.
It's beyond the horoscopes that you see in mm-hmm. the newspaper, you know.
Yeah.
So you are a Cancer.
I'm a Cancer, yeah.
And that's the crab?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you're...
See, I know this now.
Look at that, yeah, and you're a Virgo. What's that?
That's the purity symbol.
Yeah, the virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're a Taurus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're a bull.
Yeah.
So Cancers, mm-hmm. they cry a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So I do.
I've never seen you cry.
Okay.
Maybe I have. I don't know.
I cry like every day. So like cancers are like really like they're like homebodies and like sensitive and like nurturing, which like honestly, like not gonna lie, but like I'm hella good at caring for people and like loving them. Like I love doing it. Like I love apologizing. I love like just not being upset. So I don't do anything I can to not like a crab. But I can get a little moody sometimes. And then my moon is in Leo. So that's like my emotional ruler. But the thing is that the moon is what rules over the constellation of Cancer. So my moon is in Leo. So for me, my emotions are a little bit heightened, and Leos are like really known for being like very dramatic and like kind of self-centered, but like they just like love attention and like loudness. And I would say that like I'm a pretty like open person with my emotions. Like you'll know if I'm like happy or not. And then my ascending, my rising, which is like the angle, at least my understanding, like the angle of the earth and like the sun to like where you were born, is in Gemini. And those are the twins. Yeah. So that's fun.
And you know all that from like the day and time of your birth.
Yes,
right?
Day, time, location. And like there's literally so much more to unpack, but I'm not gonna try to do that because
there's gotta be an app that you put in all your information.
Yeah, dude, CoStar.
Oh, okay.
People give it shit, but it's the best because you can like add friends and compare your charts.
What do they give
it
shit for?
Sounds like a good. You're good so app. Curious. What's
I mean,
up?
Oh no, I'm gonna look at the reviews real quick.
It's hella cool. Look, I'll show you. Look, so like here's my chart. So like that kind of, and like you have like, there's this thing that's like kind of big right now called Saturn return, because like Saturn, it like stays for a generation, like 7 years. When it comes back, like a lot of like life changes happen. Like I was reading this one about Greta Thunberg, and how like her Saturn return was like predicted with like a lot of like bravery, like a lot of like way to like stand up for like what you believe in, like a good time to like go for your goals. Whereas like there are sometimes like it's a full moon. So like full moon is like renewal and like recharge. And then like as the phases go, it like lessens and lessens. So it's like interesting to kind of go to astrology for like kind of everything, not just like the, oh, like fun shit where it can be like, hey, like you probably don't want to do this right now. You know, and it sounds lame, and I'm not like one of those people. It's like, oh, like my daily horoscope, but like I do. I think it's dumb not to respect, you know, what's out there and what we don't know. You know,
you make decisions based off of the predictions that it has for you.
I compare how I'm doing to how like what it says and like how it relates to my life and how I can like use it for my benefit and for other people's benefit, but I'm not, it's not something I'm scared of, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people, when, like, they look at things like that with, like, a bad rep, they kind of, like, implement, like, fear or doubt, and that's not really an issue for me. For me, it's just, like, it's honestly just about, like, what I feel and what I connect with, and I, like, honestly base, or, like, give thanks to that confidence I have through yoga. Kind of all goes back to that, for me, at least.
Well, something that I heard that was pretty beautiful, and it kind of ties into what we were talking about earlier, was that you have to dream kind of a crazy dream to be able to get something of substance out of it. And that kind of ties into what we were talking about earlier, to where, like I said, astrology was the ancient form of astronomy. And alchemy, you know, was the ancient form of chemistry. And like we're talking about now, people think that astronomy or astrology and alchemy, they're kind of pseudoscience or crazy. They're, no, I don't believe that until they do. And I feel like we might be in a weird stage as far as religion. Like, we found the alternative to alchemy, and that was chemistry, right? Mm-hmm. And we found the alternative to astrology, which is astronomy, and now those are hard sciences. And I think that maybe one day people will be able to, I mean, it may be hundreds of years from now, but they will, we have this thing called religion, and they may find this modern thing that ties into maybe science that you can prove and test. Like, there is this thing that you guys are channeling into. It's not fake that you're getting an emotional response from this community and this crazy experience of being human, you know? And so, I don't know, it's just, it's a cool mental exercise for myself to think that maybe one day everybody can look at that thing that we're all feeling as real and implement that into, you know, how we live our lives. I think people would be a lot nicer and do a lot more yoga.
I wish everyone at least meditated and did some form of marijuana. I'm not like trying to be funny or cool.
Everyone needs to just be stoned.
No, but I mean, yeah, marijuana is fun and stuff, like doing with your friends and then acting like an idiot. But I get a lot of like mental benefits from it too.
Oh my god,
like,
yeah,
ideas.
Absolutely.
I get crazy ideas when I'm on it.
For like mental health, it's
mental
so
health,
good.
Big time.
Yeah,
I was a completely different person like 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and someone I worked with. I was leaving that store and they gave me a joint as a present.
Oh,
I haven't
nice.
Smoked like since I was a teenager before.
Where was that?
Where
were they giving out joints?
it was at a previous job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was in a store. And, and so I went home and smoked it, and it just felt like perfect temperature of warm water just being poured on my back, and all the stress that I've been holding up in my body for like mm-hmm. years, it was just gone in one night.
That's awesome.
It all came back the next day.
Some people,
but it's like, okay, there is something. I need to go on this journey to fix this, mm-hmm. and marijuana is what sparked that. Then I got into meditation, and then I got into like self-improvement, and yeah.
And here we are in a freaking yoga studio doing a podcast.
And now I did yoga.
Who'd have thought?
You did yoga?
Look at us.
Yeah.
Look at us. Who'd have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Oh,
this is good.
Yeah, no.
This was fun. It's getting a little late.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear that crack?
Yeah, that was good. I need a few.
But yeah, no, marijuana and yoga is awesome. Mm-hmm. Marijuana, like, it's getting late. But, like, you know how cannabis, like, it's really good for seizures?
Mm-hmm.
So when people are, like, diagnosed with mood disorders, it's really common for like anti-seizure medicine to be prescribed. So like cannabis is like this whole new like exit drug for people who are like on like Klonopin and like Seroquel and like a lot of different like antipsychotics or like lithium.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just reading about that. Hella cool. More reason to smoke weed.
Yeah, I don't know much about like anything other than the seizures and what is it, the where they, the is it epilepsy? Where
that's
they
seizures still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is it? Parkinson's.
Oh.
That's
oh,
what
okay.
it is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Have you seen somebody take CBD when they're when they have Parkinson's?
It like really helps them.
They just
stop
one are just completely surrendered to whatever's happening in their brain. They puff, and 5 minutes later, they're perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think nature has given us some beautiful gifts, and we do not utilize them well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the
demonize.
Oh man,
yeah,
you hate to see.
Plant.
You hate. Oh, that's true. It's a beautiful plant. this was so fun, dude. Thanks for coming and doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I'm super glad you guys like enjoyed it and had an open mind and was able to kind of experience that. So
yeah.
Now you know why I talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming back. This is
yeah,
fun.
You
if
should.
I could have one more question.
Please.
What advice do you have for someone that might be hesitant or intimidated to start yoga?
I was.
Let's try it. I was too.
I would say don't go for any other reason other than to find an answer to a question. Because if you don't have like a why or intention behind it, you know, it's gonna be a little bit wobbly until that intention finds you.
Hmm.
So, you know, it can be intimidating. That's really true. For me, it like really helped, like, you know, as like a woman with like body image issues, it's like very helpful to just do it for your own self and to not be like, oh, they're looking at me or this or that. And to find a teacher you connect with for sure. That makes like a world of difference because it really is like an intimate thing. It's a very intense process for sure. Right. And any good yoga teacher wants you to feel like safe and comfortable in a room. So don't, if you have like a fitness instructor or like a, anything at all that ever makes you feel that you're not totally okay in the body you're practicing in or doing whatever in, then they can go to hell because that's not what it's about.
If I could add to that too, I also felt before coming here, I was a little bit worried about like being center stage, people seeing me mess up and stuff like that. But I felt very isolated and felt, even though I'm in a room with a bunch of people, I felt very private too. Because everyone else is focusing on their own movement. And so you do have that kind of feeling of privacy.
Totally, yeah. Yoga communities, you know, I've experienced a good amount of them and like they're quirky and weird, but like people that come back to yoga, like normally yoga will change them. So you won't really come into contact, hopefully, with people that are judgmental or make you feel inadequate in any way.
Well, it definitely didn't feel that here. So
that's good.
Yeah, loved it.
I like totally like super fucked up one of my transitions. I totally thought like everyone was like, oh, look at the look. Because it was one of my like handstands. And then you come down and do like the Ikapada Chaturanga. And I like, my thigh was like, bam, like on the mat. And I was really surprised no one hurt. But you know, you just get up and do it again.
I remember I looked up. I think I saw you do that. I looked up. I was like, oh, shit. I didn't see you mess up. But I saw you do a handstand. I was like, fuck, I can't do that. Yeah, the girl next to you was doing like some crazy shit too.
Yeah, and like she's like 45, dude. She's gnarly.
What's her name?
Tamara.
Tamara, and then the instructor?
It was Ellen.
Shout out to Tamara and Ellen. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, big shout out.
You guys are great. Thanks for letting us do this and instructing us. Thanks, Core Power. Is this like a chain?
It is. It is a corporate yoga studio, and when I first like started, I was like, that sounds like kind of counterproductive. Yeah. But having worked at both like a corporate studio and a mom and pop, it's, as an instructor, a lot better to work here.
Yeah.
But you know, yoga finds you wherever you are, so.
Found us.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Core Power. Thanks, Lizzie. Mm-hmm. All right, check out their classes at, let's see, what's your address? We're not in Elk Grove.
Nope, we're in Fair Oaks.
We're in Fair Oaks. Yep. 5275 Sunrise in Fair Oaks. Mm-hmm. Check out their social media. Check out our social media. What's your social media? Do you know it?
You'll find me when you find me.
Okay, yeah. We'll send links.
We'll tag you.
Yeah. Tom and Topher, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know what it is. Switch to Spotify if you can. We're gonna try and get y'all from SoundCloud to Spotify, please. And thank you. Love you. Bless you. Angels watch over you. And thank you for everyone listening in. You guys are awesome. We love our fans. You guys are great. Thanks for everything. And thank you, Lizzie.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
This was awesome.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Good night.